Celebrate the historic 100th Greeley Stampede, June 23rd through July 4th, featuring concerts, rodeo, carnival, and more. Tickets available at GreeleyStampede.org.
We've got a heated debate going. The office guys are getting into it. Tanner of Good Morning NoCo, Clark Johnson of Clark and the Coach. Clark, I had convinced he was with me on the dynasty definition. Now, first off, Michael, we all agree it's multiple titles. It's at least two titles to be a dynasty, maybe you're a mini dynasty, whatever.
This two is titles a fun conversation. Is a micro.
We're staying here. Three titles is a legit dynasty, right?
Yeah.
Three. Okay. So, Mike. My thought was, and I want to read this text because this is a good one. Where is it? The ghost of Milton Friedman? Okay. It's an interesting name for a hooligan. Wow. It's way... I can't read the text now. It's not loading. Michael, if you can find it. There it is. Okay. If Mike Shanahan found Super Bowl success with another team after the Broncos won their two, could he be considered a dynasty? Boy, that's a thought, because if I'm saying that it's the people more so than the team, it's not the umbrella of the team or the franchise, it's Tom Brady a dynasty on his own. Is Tom Brady his own dynasty? It's like Kurt Russell in Guardians of the Galaxy 2 when he's his own planet. Is Tom Brady his own planet? If Steph Curry and Draymond Green and Steve Kerr come to Denver and win a title, does that stretch? Are they the dynasty? I don't think so. It's got to be the team attached and some of the same cast. But you guys are disagreeing with me now, it sounds like. Hooligans, I don't know where you guys are on this. I'm saying that if it was a complete makeover, even if you won two Super Bowls in a row, the very next year, complete makeover, coach is gone, GM's gone, quarterback's gone, key players are gone left and right, completely different team, completely different look. I'm saying it's not the same dynasty, even if you win three in a row.
Well, just because all the leaders of the Huns died doesn't mean the dynasty died after 50 years.
We're not talking about that. It doesn't work the same.
I think that's where dynasty comes from.
It doesn't work.
I think dynasty can be more than one thing.
No,
but I think
it can't.
Actually
can only be more. It can only be one thing. That's different.
That's my analogy.
Sports dynasties compared to historical dynasties, different. You know?
Yeah, because sports dynasties, we can just like...
Well, we can make up our own rules.
Yeah, we can basically make up our own rules. You can't just say, well, the Huns weren't really a dynasty.
Yeah. I just, like Tanner's saying, oh, but it's under the same umbrella. It's still the same franchise. Well, it's still the same franchise if they won it 30 years later. It'd still be the same franchise. I'm saying if all of the pieces that made John Elway's teams win, Terrell Davis, Shannon Sharp, Mark Schlereth, Gary Zimmerman, and again, this isn't realistic. You're not going to see that massive of an overhaul, but let's just say it happens. Most of them retired. Steve Atwater's gone. John Mobley, Bill Romanowski. All the guys that made that stretch real and fun and work for two titles are all gone, Mike Shanahan included. If you bring in Brian Griese and a brand new cast and win, it's not the same dynasty. It's a different dynasty. Even tacking it right next to each other doesn't work. Now, somebody brought up Golden State. Is that a different dynasty than when they won without Kevin Durant or with Kevin? No, because Steph Curry, Steve Kerr, Draymond Green, Klay Thompson were still the biggest pieces to that puzzle. I know Durant was a huge piece to it, but you still have the main cast. You still have a league MVP in Steph Curry. On that roster, you still have the defensive player of the year, Draymond Green. You got to have one, two, three notable names, either your head coach or a couple of players or whatever, that make it work. So you guys are against me now. I had Clark on my side, and now Tanner's been filling his head with lies, and now they're all against me, and you're against me on this too. Although you admit It's an interesting point.
I think there are a lot of good points from both sides of the issue.
Mainly from my side.
I think both sides of the issue have good points to make.
You can't be the same dynasty if it's not the same people. It's just you can't. Now, I get what you're saying. Like, could Shanahan and Elway have gone somewhere else and won? It's not the same dynasty because you got to tack on the team.
I didn't say that. That was the ghost of Milton Friedman.
Oh, you read it. Oh, that's right. Ghost of Milton Friedman said that. Interesting name. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. I like these kind of conversations, though. I think this is fun. But you can't be the same dynasty if you don't have the same cast. You know, it just doesn't work. You're a big nerd guy because of the nerd show, right? If the Joker comes out a year later from Joaquin Phoenix's Joker and David Spade is playing the Joker the next year, are they considered the same franchise? Are they the same dynasty? The same movie dynasty?
It depends on the rules. I count them as different universes.
Is Tobey Maguire's Spider-Man in the same... Again, I know we have crossover.
They are now.
Before that happened, though. I guess they are. That's a stupid point. Is Christian Bale's Batman, the three movies there, are those the same dynasty as Michael Keaton's Batman?
They're completely different universes.
Exactly. That's
what
I'm saying.
And it depends on do you like Michael Keaton's universe better than Christopher Nolan's universe? Do you like Christopher Nolan's universe better than...
Are they the same?
No, they're not.
They're not the same.
And
there you go.
There are some that are superior to others.
I used your nerd logic, and it worked for me. It's the same with sports. Michael Keaton is John Elway, and Mike Shanahan is Christopher Nolan. Those guys, they're not in this next movie. It's Twilight and... whatever that director's name was.
Well, I would disagree with your analogy because they're all in the NFL. So you'd have to compare everybody from the same
universe.
They're all
in cinema. They're all in the same world of Hollywood.
So you could compare how the West was won with Christopher Nolan's Batman.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's all movies. They all can compete for the same title, right? Best Actor of the Year?
I'm pretty sure some of them aren't going to compete for the same thing.
They're in the same category, though. They're all in the same category.
Movie?
Yes.
Well, The Mask isn't going to be in the same category.
But it potentially
as
could. You could potentially, Jim Carrey could have potentially, I know it didn't, but he could have won Actor of the Year and been in the same competition as whatever.
I think there's Best Actor for a comedy and Best Actor for drama.
I'm just trying to speak your language, bro. I'm just trying to meet you on your nerd world level. So I'm right about this one. The whole reason we started talking about this was because I think the Avs might be not just on their way to win a Stanley Cup, but I think that we're talking about a dynasty here. And really, the Broncos are the only ones. They have that two-year mini dynasty. You called it a micro dynasty. We don't have, isn't that kind of, would you consider the Avs a micro dynasty, 96 and 2001? Same cast.
I mean, they were in the playoffs for all those years, so maybe
that stretches, right?
Yeah, maybe you could
different coaches, but still had Joe Sakic, Patrick Waugh, and Peter Forsberg, and all that stuff.
You could maybe consider them, a micro dynasty.
I think they're in the same level as the Broncos.
Yeah,
so the state of Colorado has two micro dynasties.
Yeah, that's what I would say.
96 through 2001, and the Broncos 97 through 99.
If you had won that 96-97 season, if they had gone on and beaten the Packers.
If they would have won three, they would be a full dynasty.
Yeah,
not like the greatest dynasty, but they'd be a full dynasty.
Yeah, they'd be a mini dynasty.
So the Avs, I think, have potential to do that. I think they have potential to become a full dynasty. But that's going to take three cups.
Well, I still think that's a... I mean, semantics. It depends on what you want to call it. But I think you have to be an extra special team and an extra special franchise to have that actual dynasty. I don't think three in a row is going to be a
What if the Avs go to four Stanley Cup finals in a row and win two? Are they a dynasty? Are they a full dynasty or are they a micro dynasty?
That's a micro.
Yeah. It's a fun debate.
Well, okay, if you go... Oh, man. Now you've got me thinking.
I like to make you think. That's what we do
on
this show.
I like to think, too, but now I can't put your podcast up.
14 minutes after the hour, I talked with Mark Mosier yesterday, the play-by-play voice of the Colorado Avalanche. Great guy with Altitude TV and radio. Love what he does. I'm going to play back that interview as we get you set for Avalanche Lightning Game 1 tonight. Perhaps the start of Colorado's full dynasty. Perhaps. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. We're live from the Allo Communications Studios.
Tune in to Clark and the Coach, weekdays at 11 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, this is Harrison Wynn with DNVR Nuggets. You're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Can we just get there already, man? It's taken forever to get to this Game one. I'm ready to rock and roll. Is it Wednesday yet? Joining me now is the television play-by-play voice for the Avalanche, also with Altitude Radio, Altitude TV. Mark Mosier, my friend, always a pleasure. It's been a while, but we tracked you down. You are the busiest guy in the world. I love talking to you. I love listening to you, and we tracked you down, man. So I'm just happy we can get a few moments of your time.
Well, BH, I'm happy to be with you, man. It has been a long time, but it's always great to talk to you, and yeah, it is. It's craziness right now, as you could expect. I mean, today's media day, the Avs are all there in their little podiums, and there's media from all over the globe. You saw Finnish guys and Russian gals, and of course, all the American and Canadian media are there, and it's a really special time, man. You know, it's the way it should be. We are getting ready for a Stanley Cup final, and I know we've been waiting quite a while, but just about, 28 hours, 27 hours, whatever.
Did we lose Mark? Micah, let me see if we still got Mark. Mark, we lost you for a brief second there. You still there?
I sure am. You got me okay, buddy?
I got you, man. Got you. Well, and again, the atmosphere, everything surrounding this Stanley Cup final, as you mentioned, it's just, it's so exciting. You get two great, great hockey teams, the best hockey teams at the end of the day when it came down to it. Mark, how concerned are you? We talk about the rust thing. I don't know how to really quantify that. How concerned are you about that, at least for game one?
Well, you know, I'm not really at all, Brady, because this Avalanche team, this particular team, has shown a great propensity to come out of breaks and play really good hockey. I mean, you know, they were shut down for a couple of weeks at Christmas time for COVID, and then all they did was win for the
January,
you know what I mean? And they, you know, they burst out of the gates against St. Louis after having 8 days off following the Nashville series, and they were more concerned about game number two. But I think they've learned to manage it. Talking to some of the guys this morning, they are so ready to go, you can't even believe it. And the other thing that really makes me not concerned about this at all, Brady, is that the Avs always practice at an incredibly high tempo. It's not like they're lollygagging around or anything like that. I mean, they are going full force. So as far as tape-to-tape stuff, having the legs moving and all that, These guys are going to be totally fine. I believe that.
We're talking to Mark Mosier, the play-by-play voice of the Colorado Avalanche. Love what Mark does. And this is where it's interesting, because you said it. They're, when they're practicing, they're going hard. And that's where it's going to be. Like, if they win game one tomorrow, I'm going to look at Jared Bednar again and say, man, you pressed all the right buttons, or you didn't press too hard one way or the other. That's got to be the interesting aspect for him this last week or so, is how hard do I push the guys? How much time do I give them off and that kind of thing? So I think that's going to be the interesting balance to see how that one all works out.
No, I think you're right about that. And the coach indicated that too. He said, look, you know, we've learned from what worked or what we thought was right after the Nashville series and what we want to do different. You know, so he says some days we bring guys in just for 40 minutes, for a film session and a discussion, and then we send them to the weight room. You know, some days we practice really, really hard and at a high tempo. So I think they've got that part figured out. And, you know, Jared Bednar, what he's been doing the last 6 years, Brady, is he's just been piecing together his coaching quilt. And I think the guys have been doing that as well. You know, you take little pieces that you learn from this, from that, and you put it all together for this opportunity, and now it's right there in front of them. Ready to go.
Yeah, well, and so many different things when you look at it from Jared Bednar's standpoint. Getting over that second round hump, that was huge. I mean, so many great landmarks to me were achieved in this playoff run. But obviously, you look at Tampa Bay on the other side, too. They were in some dogfights. They have played a lot of hockey, so it's kind of the opposite than what we're talking about with the Avs. Tampa Bay's played a lot of hockey over the last 3 years, Mark, and you got to wonder, when does that finally start catching up with them?
Yeah, that's a great question, too. You know, I think about that, too, Brady, and I think to myself, not only a lot of hockey, but a lot of important hockey.
Sure.
You know, where they just get stronger, it seems, as the playoffs impressive, is that they've even turned over the bottom on that team, and they still find a way to want it, as, you know, because winning the Stanley Cup is the hardest thing to do. It's the hardest trophy to win, as far as I'm concerned. You're not satisfied at all. That's an amazing feat, and it's a difficult thing to do because you've got 31 other teams that want it badly too. So they're an impressive club, and they've got the best goalie on planet Earth. Mm. It's not going to be easy, but I can guarantee you this, Brady, and I said it on my show. Looking back at their runs in the bubble and last year, the funky year playing in your division and so on, they've never faced a team like they're going to face tomorrow night. The Avs will be the best team that they have faced. So we'll see what happens.
And, Mark, what do you think about this one? Because you mentioned the layoff for the Avalanche, too, around December. And then after that, boom, they just went nuts. And that was some ridiculously good hockey. Even though it's weird I'm going to say this. The Avs are, what, 12-2 in these playoffs. Do you get a sense at all that we still haven't seen the best stretch for this Avalanche team, which is a scary question?
Yeah, it is. I've seen there have been games inside of all three of these series where I thought, man, that is as professional, as good of a win as you could throw at another team. You know, and there have been times when they've gotten a little bit loosey-goosey, and I think that's part of all the process here. Heck, I can look at Tampa in that first-round series against the Toronto Maple Leafs and go, hey, man, there are times they got loosey-goosey. Game one against the Rangers, they were loosey-goosey. But I think the Avs, I think that there's even, like you said, perhaps that one more little gear they can kick it up to. Just that one more little one. And they know they have to here in this cup final. I mean, one thing is for certain to me, Brady, is that they realize that this is a rare moment in some guys' careers. I mean, there are guys who will play for a long time and never even get to play for the cup, let alone, you know, win it. So I think everybody inside that room has got a pretty darn good grasp on moment and what it means and what they need to do and how they need to play and how they need to control their emotions and so on to be able to accomplish their goal.
Again, we're talking to Mark Mosier, the television play-by-play guy for the Colorado Avalanche. You hear him on Altitude Radio, Altitude TV. Mark, whether you're a diehard hockey guy or you're green to the sport, we all say the same thing. When you look at the playoffs, if you have a hot goalie, you can do crazy things. Well, obviously, as you mentioned earlier, when you look at Vasilevsky, he is just ridiculous. And you watch him night in, night out. It's crazy to see some of the stops he can make. How do the Avalanche, what kind of a couple of key points from you specifically, what can they do to try to throw him off his stride a little bit?
Well, the best thing that the Avs do, and when you look at the postseason so far, they've got an unbelievable power play. So when they get the opportunity, they're going to have to bury it. But number two, they are the most voluminous shot team in the postseason, which means they throw the most shots on goal. 41 per game is what the Avs have averaged in the playoffs. And again, every team has tried to shut them down. The St. Louis Blues tried to slow them down and at times did an okay job. But the Avs come at you from all different angles, Brady, and they throw that puck on net. In fact, yesterday in practice, I was watching Jared Bednar, and you know, one of the guys hesitated to shoot the puck in a power play because he had his teammates stacked up in front of him. He didn't want to drill a guy. And Bednar said, you shoot that puck. Hey, everybody, everybody, stop. Shoot the puck at the net. And listen, when I look at Andrei Vasilevsky, here's what I see. And I'm being totally blunt about this. He's the best goalie on earth. There's no doubt in my mind. He's the best goalie. And until somebody's, you know, better than him or they don't win, I'm going to continue to think that. But so while he's not, you can't rattle him because you can throw six on him one game, he'll shut you out the next. He is not unbeatable. He will give up goals, and it's up to the Avs when he does give up goals to make it stick. And the best part, too, again, they're a puck possession team. It's hard for the Lightning to score more goals than the Avs if Vasilevsky's having one of those nights when they don't have the puck, and they've got tremendous offensive talent, but the Avs are a really good puck control team. And when they've got it, it's hard to get it away from them. So, man, I just say continue to throw that puck at the front of the net. No goalie likes guys to be in his kitchen. And if you're going to shoot on him, and I know they are, Vasilevsky predominantly gets beat, high blocker and high glove. So you better start working that area from the get-go.
Yeah, I love that side of it, too, kind of seeing the game within the game. What about the goalie on the other side for the Avs? Of course, Darcy Kuemper, we know what happened a few weeks ago. And then you see Frankie. Frankie was kind of thrown to the wolves, and I think he came out. He survived anyway. He was very important. Obviously, you're going with Darcy Kuemper, right? You got to go with the guy if he's assuming he's healthy and good to go. But is there any question in your mind that they might go the other way, or Kemper's perhaps on sort of a short leash?
I don't think that he is, only because your number one, Brady's your number one. And if he's your number one, you go with your one. Not that Frankie couldn't accomplish the job. And Jared Beheno this morning, I loved, he goes, well, you know, or maybe it was Joe Sakic, actually. Both guys have won six games this postseason. So, you know, you've got two options that you can work with. But Kuemper is your number one. And here's the key. He is fully healthy. He is completely healthy and ready to go. Anything that plagued him before is completely done. And I look at it, he's going to get goal support. I mean, Vasilevsky, he's not unbeatable. So Darcy Kuemper is going to get goal support. And he doesn't have to be great. He doesn't have to be as good as Vasilevsky or whatever. He just can't be wild and open and allowing things in that shouldn't go in. You know, I mean, listen, Tampa's going to score because they've got terrific players. But don't give them anything more than they earn if you're a goalie. And I think that's the key for Darcy Kuemper. He doesn't have to be all world. He just can't be open. He's got to be able to make the stops when he needs to make the stops.
And as you mentioned, what Vasi is so good at is recovering. And you see that with the great goalies, right? If they have a bad game, they don't let it eat them up. That might be the big key for Darcy as well. Mark, what about the other injuries? Could we expect to see Kadri, Cogliano? What's the situation look like for those? I still can't even believe we're talking about this. Hockey guys are just different. Mark, you know this more than anybody. Got hand surgery like a week ago or 2 weeks ago, and we're talking about could they play tomorrow night?
Dude, if I had hand surgery, I wouldn't be able to pick up the phone and dial you for a month, man. I promise you that.
Right, man.
Exactly. Dude, I'm really, really hopeful. Honestly, Brady, I'm hopeful because I know they've been skating. You know, I mean, their legs clearly still work. Their lungs still work. The only thing that I would wonder about, and I'm no doctor, so I really don't know, would be, okay, well, both guys were injured in their top hand. If it was the bottom hand, it might be a bit of a different story, but both guys are injured in their top hand. And, you know, what does it take? Can you get to the point with each guy where, okay, well, you're healed up enough that you can't do any more damage to it, but you just have to live with the pain? And if you get to that point, then I think that, yes, there's a possibility that both guys could be back. But it was funny, we had Jared Bender on the show the other day, and he said, yeah, you know, Nas is already in the gym lifting. And I'm like, what?
Wow.
I mean, this guy just had his body part cut open, you know, a week ago, and here he is lifting. So these guys are built different. And again, man, if you get a chance to play for a Stanley Cup, the wild horses or limbs being, you know, cut off and being amputated, that would be the only thing. I think that if you can go and you can't, you know, physically blow your body up anymore, then you try to do it. But you've got to be effective. I mean, you can't just go on out there and just be a body in the lineup. You've got to be able to play. And I think that the Avs will weigh all that. But I'm hopeful that both guys can make it back at least at some point.
Mark, our morning show host pulled his hamstring getting out of the chair this morning. I mean, these guys breaking hands and getting hand surgery.
Yeah, he's done. Yeah. Lock him up for the summer, man. He's out. He's done.
He's done. You never know.
Put him down.
The old broadcast injury, right?
Mark, exactly right.
Mark, my man, appreciate you, dude. I would love to do this again. Two things with you. I got about a minute here. Number one, how can I find you? You're calling the game tomorrow, right? And I want to be able to find that. Is that an opportunity for me?
Well, only if you are very creative internationally. Yeah, what happened was is that E.J. Raddick does the games for the international feed with Kevin Weeks, the incomparable Kevin Weeks. And E.J. Has a graduation that he must attend for his family, and so he'll miss game one, and they asked me to sit in. So
Sweet. The
broadcast will go to every country in the world except the United States or Canada. So you can fly to England tonight if you want to, or you can do one of those pirate deals, I suppose. But no, it'll mostly just be around the world. And then some countries will have their own broadcasters in their own language, but not a ton. So, I don't know where it's going totally. Maybe Fiji, maybe if you want to get to Bora Bora and they take the feed, it's all UB.
I love it, man. Appreciate you, dude. And of course, that's exciting for you. You nobody better in my mind. Love listening to you. Love following you along. And last one, 20 seconds. Avs got it tomorrow night, taking game one?
I think so, man. Watching these guys, Nathan MacKinnon Brady is more powerful today than he was the day before He's flying on the ice. So my answer is, if they follow 29, they're going to burst out of the gates and they're going to get it done.
That's rock and roll. I'm ready to go, man. Let's get after it tomorrow night. Mark, my friend, appreciate you. And let's grab a beer sometime. Let's make that happen. I'll make my way down to you when things slow down for you.
Or I can make my way up to you. Love it up there. So I'd be more than happy to come see you, BH. But you're on. Let's do it.
All right, man. Let's make it happen. There he is, Mark Mosier, with the voice of the Colorado Avalanche. Great dude. Awesome at what he does. He likes game one tomorrow. Me too. Maybe. We'll give that pick coming up. We'll get a pick tomorrow. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. We're live from the Allo Communications Studios.
This is Jenny Kavnar from AT&T Sportsnet, your host for the Colorado Rockies. You're listening to the whole show on KFKA. Fire up the South.
Minutes after the 1 o'clock hour, almost done here for a Wednesday. Big game one tonight between Colorado and Tampa Bay. Who you got just in this one? That's what I want to know. I don't care about the series yet. I just want to know who you like in this game tonight. Go vote at thewholeshow.com. That's our Method Flow Products poll question of the day. Shout out to No Limit Collectibles. We're talking about dynasties. We're talking about greatness. We're talking about all that stuff. Well, you're collecting greatness when you go to No Limit Collectibles. You're getting the Joker signed jersey, the Nolan Arenado signed baseball bat. There's so many things there. Basketball cards, football cards, baseball cards. They got it there. They're over now by Cables, another one of our great sponsors. You could go over there, grab lunch at Cables, grab a drink, stop by, go to No Limit, check out the store. I love that area. So tell them we sent you here from the whole show, powered by PDC Energy. All right, the Broncos are done with minicamp. Their final day, which we all kind of knew was coming, they decided to do a field day. Do you have a problem with that, Michael? They had fun. They didn't do any installs, not working on offense, not working on defense. They just went and had fun. Did a field day like we did back in grade school, whatever.
Depends on the team you have.
Well, they haven't been to the playoffs in 6 years. Do you have a problem with screwing around?
If you have a team that needs a break,
but they didn't, it's mini camp. They didn't need a break.
Fun loving.
Nathaniel Hackett is fun loving. I mean, they're having fun.
But
I'm kind of shocked
that they're mature enough to handle a day like that.
With Russell,
go ahead and do that.
With Russell, they should be. Are you shocked that they went this route though? Because all we hear from Russell is like, never take a day off, dedication. I sleep 4 hours a night, and then I'm up early. Is it kind of? And again, I don't know if they did this at Seattle. They might have done this at Seattle.
Russell and I have a lot in common.
But he gets up on purpose. Like, you can't sleep. You
That's
know?
True.
I'm sorry. I'll try to hypnotize you or something. But I was a little shocked that, with Russell, and again, it's Nathaniel Hackett's team, I guess. But I was kind of shocked that they went all out for the field day. with Russell. Am I mad about it? Do I care? No. It's June 15th. Do I think that a full day of practice is going to impact the Broncos in August, in September? Today, in June 15th? Not one day. I mean, I always think like OTAs and all the other different camps they have is a little crazy. Training camp's where it's at. That's where you need to be. Everybody needs to be there. There's no, you know, well, it wasn't mandatory. That's when I care. I don't have a problem with the, you know, a lot of people say, well, you haven't been to the playoffs in 6 years. You need to be taken every day seriously. I just don't think that June 15th, one day, is going to impact you.
And yes, it also depends on the coaching staff. But some coaching staffs are more laid back, fun loving, run up and down the sideline and, you know, yell at the referees, but not, you know, yell at the players.
Do you
isn't the guy in Seattle kind of like that? He's more laid back with the players.
Yeah. Nathaniel Hackett will be that guy too. He's going to be that guy. He's a player's coach. Here's my only issue with it. And again, if they don't have an issue, it's fine. But if you're told to show up for practice, because these are mandatory, right? These are mini camps. And then you show up, some of these guys don't live here. Or you stay here, and then you're told, you know what, no practice, field day. Wouldn't you, and some guys would say no to this, but wouldn't you look at that and go, man, I wish they would have told me. I would have just gone home. Because the field day is not doing anything other than building team chemistry, I suppose. But I just wonder if it is a better reward to just say, we're cutting it early. Everybody can go home. You know? I don't know. I just, that's my thought process, I guess, is like, you're staying an extra night here. Maybe some of you live here, but some of you haven't moved here yet. Some of you don't move here until the fall. So your home is there, your family, your friends, your own thing. But instead, it's, hey, surprise, no practice, but you still got to be here. And we're going to play kickball and dodgeball and run around and do wind sprints.
You know what I would have done? I would have given them tickets to the Avs. If tickets were available.
Well, I mean, then you want to spend $100,000 on getting everybody to the game.
Well, that's why you have an agreement with the Avalanche.
And
we'll give you some tickets. You give us some tickets.
60 spot. How many guys are on the roster right now? I don't have an issue with it. My only thought would be if they could get the choice of staying for field day or going home an extra day early, and you know, because now their summer vacation starts until they get back into training camp. This is the interesting time of year, though, Michael. This is when, you know, that there was a book and a show called The Dome. I always think like general managers and coaches want to put a dome over their players right now. Because this is the time. It's summer vacation mode. It's the time between mini camp and training camp. You know, you have no obligations until training camp. You don't have to be there. You don't have to be around. This is when you sometimes hear of guys getting in trouble. You know, getting a little too rowdy, whatever.
You can't put a dome over them, though.
No, I know.
Because if you squeeze too hard.
That would be illegal.
Yeah, if you squeeze too hard, they're going to crack under the pressure.
There you go. I just, this will be, I mean, again, with a Russell Wilson-led team, you don't worry. I mean, is it a worry? Is it a concern? No, but this is kind of the time of year we start to hear some of those stories about a player doing something crazy, and then they get in trouble or whatever. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. How would you like to be Cleveland Browns in this Baker Mayfield thing? Well, I know we didn't do our Inside the NFL segment, but that's where I was going to go today, is if you're the Browns, like, what do you do now? Hey, Baker, how you doing, bud? I'm good. How are you? You still interested in the starting quarterback thing? You good with that? Because, yeah, we're ready. Oh, Deshaun Watson didn't work out after he had 24 cases against him. Now it's at 26, but you guys still signed him and guaranteed him all this money, and now you want me to come back and start for you?
How Cleveland of them.
Oh, my gosh. Why would you do this? Again, I'm not talking about loyalty to Baker, even though Baker's the only quarterback to get him to win him a playoff game in like however many years. But still, that's not even about loyalty. If Deshaun Watson didn't have any of this stuff going on, absolutely. No brainer. Do it. Go with the draft. He's young. I like the draft picks for a young guy, not a 38-year-old Aaron Rodgers. I've talked about that. But why would you touch this? And again,
It's better to limp along with a guy who you know is not going to be the future.
Yeah,
reach for the poison.
And reach for the poison. You're exactly right. Because
the poison that's your starting quarterback. You're just pouring poison in the entire pool.
26. Is it 26 now? Have come forward. And before that, it was like 20. And that my only thing was this. Did Cleveland get some bad information from somebody? Did somebody that was, quote unquote, in the know?
I think Cleveland is full of bad
information. Did they just say, you know what? We're going to take our chances. Especially when you just drafted Baker 4 years ago with the first overall pick.
I think Johnny Manziel is still available.
Oh, man. Again, just another list of bad moves. They pissed off the only successful quarterback that they've had. And again, Baker's no world beater. I understand that. But he's been their only reason for excitement in however many years.
I kind of hope he does come back and does super well for them. And then
are they going to
the AFC Championship every year and lose to the Broncos.
Are they going to trade him? Are they going to make this thing work?
Because I hope they do.
If you're Baker Mayfield, would you want to come back or just take your owed, you know, your guaranteed money and move and sit out?
I would absolutely. Well, I would want to play, but I'd really not want to play for the. I wouldn't hate the city or everybody in the franchise, but I'd hate the people who had screwed me over.
Yeah. It's a weird deal, man. I'm not sure why Cleveland did that. All right, I got a pair of tickets. It's a voucher. You'll turn it in and get two tickets for extreme bull riding at the Greeley Stampede. It's coming up. Thanks to Buildings by Design for sponsoring our ticket giveaways. We're going to be giving away stuff all the next 3 weeks. So keep it on your local programming. I got tickets for you. I'm hooking you up. Extreme bull riding. I got a pair of these bad boys, or a voucher, rather. Let's go caller number four. Caller number four on the First Advantage hotline, 970-353-1310. 970-353-1310. That's caller number four. I got a pair of tickets for you to go see extreme bull riding on June 23rd. Greeley Stampede is almost here. Good luck, caller four, 970-353-1310. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. Wrapping up the program on the other side next. Don't go anywhere.
Get the insight you need before making that pick. Listen to Betting Across America with former Buff Mike Pritchard weekdays at 2 on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Nico Medved, the men's basketball coach of the Colorado State Rams, and you're listening to The Hull Show on 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back. Game one, 6 o'clock tonight on ABC and ESPN Plus, Lightning Avalanche. Go vote at theholeshow.com. Tell me who you got tonight. I want to know. Avs taking this. All right, my official pick. I like the Avs to win the cup, but I don't think they win tonight. I think the Lightning get game one.
You're going against the shirt?
I'm going against. And that was almost a game changer for me. When I saw you had the shirt on, I thought, oh, I might need to change my pick. If I get this wrong, I'm never going against you again, Michael. I'll never go against you again. How about that?
You should never go against me.
I do often. But we're gonna go with the Lightning tonight. I still like the Avs to win the cup. We'll see. The Lightning are, what, a goal and a half dogs in this game? So, hey, we'll see. I hope I'm wrong. I do. I really hope I'm wrong. That'll do it for us. I won't be back tomorrow. We got the Rockies coverage. And then I'm out Friday and Monday. So, we have the Colorado one boys filling in on Monday. We're figuring out Friday. That'll do it for us. Good night, Northern Colorado.